Hello, this is Bani and welcome to the news with NDTV.
It's Monday, September 1st, and coming up in today's episode. Supreme Court's trust deficit remark on Election Commission and political parties in Bihar. Supreme Court dismisses PIL challenging the government's ethanol blending plan. PM Modi on terrorism in Shanghai Cooperation Organization. And at least 600 people killed in earthquake in Afghanistan. The trust deficit between the Election Commission and political parties in Bihar is unfortunate. The Supreme Court said today while extending the deadline for filing objections to the draft voter list prepared after the special intensive revision in the poll-bound state. The bench of Justice Surya Kant and Justice Joy Mallya Bagchi was hearing applications seeking an extension of September 1 deadline to file objections to the draft list. Appearing for the Election Commission, Senior Advocate Rakesh Dwivedi said that people of Bihar do not have a problem with a special intensive revision, and only the petitioners see red. The poll body informed the bench that most applications it has received seek the removal of names from the voter list, and the number of requests for inclusion is much lower. As the petitioners said, the lack of transparency in the exercise is the problem. The Election Commission countered that a mindset to disrupt is to blame. The poll body said an extension of the deadline would disrupt the entire schedule of finalizing the voter list ahead of the polls. It says postponing the deadline will make the review a non-ending exercise. Justice Kant noted the unfortunate trust deficit between the election body and the political parties and said volunteers from the District Legal Services Authority can help in the exercise. Advocate Prashant Bhushan, appearing for the Petitioner Association for Democratic Reforms, said the problem is lack of transparency. Mr. Dwivedi replied, "The problem is with the mindset to disrupt." Unquote. The court extended the deadline to September 15. The court's remarks on the trust deficit is significant against the political backdrop of opposition parties, excusing the Election Commission of colluding with the ruling BJP to manipulate the voting process. The poll body has trashed these allegations and the BJP has alleged that the opposition, led by the Congress, is frustrated over its electoral setbacks and now is targeting the poll body. The Supreme Court on Monday dismissed a PIL challenging the government's E20 or ethanol blending plan, that is to blend all petrol sold in the country with 20% ethanol by 2025 to 2026. A bench of Justice B.R. Gawai and Justice K. Vinod Chandran struck down the plea after Attorney General R. Venkataramani told the court the petitioner, who asked for ethanol-free petrol for pre-2023 vehicles, is an Englander, that is, someone from the outside who will dictate what petrol to use. During the hearing, Senior Advocate Shadan Farasat, appearing for the petitioner, referred to a 2021 Niti Aayog report that expressed concern about 6% reduced fuel efficiency for older vehicles, especially those manufactured before 2023 running on the blended petrol. Quote, "We have to be given an option. We are not against E20, but at least let suppliers inform us that some vehicles are not compliant with the same. Only vehicles post April 2023 can tolerate E20. The petitioner acknowledged E20 is a logical progression as far as fuel is concerned and said that he was not contesting the higher blend but only challenging the non-availability of E10 petrol. Mr. Venkataramani countered by calling the petitioner a name holder for a huge lobby with vested interests. He claimed E20 would benefit sugarcane farmers and save foreign exchange. Quote, "Will people outside the country dictate what kind of fuel India should use?" Unquote. He said, "The government's E20 blend push has led to pushback from car owners and auto enthusiasts who believe the mix will adversely affect engine performance and mileage, causing more mechanical issues and a reduction in the overall lifespan and reliability of their cars." Earlier this month, the government said the move would not only reduce pollution and save money on oil imports, but also lead to better acceleration and even ride quality. Quote, "A study on life cycle emissions of ethanol done by Niti Aayog has said the GHG, which is greenhouse gas emissions, in the case of use of sugarcane and maize-based ethanol are less by 65% and 50% respectively than those of petrol, the Ministry of Petroleum and Natural Gas said, stressing the rural economy has seen transformative benefits because of the move. The ministry also said increasing incomes of farmers has helped curb farmer suicides. Meanwhile, Union Road Transport and Highways Minister Nitin Gadkari told NDTV that vehicular pollution had reduced post-ethanol blending. He said, and I quote, "The aim is to curb the carbon footprint of vehicular traffic in India and reduce fossil fuel use," unquote. He said at an NDTV Green Energy Summit. Ethanol blending averaged 12.06% in 2022-2023 and rose to 14.6% in the next year. By February this year, it had reached 19.6%. The 20% mark was crossed soon after. Shanghai Cooperation Organization Summit in Tianjin, China, today drew global spotlight for its strong geopolitical implications, especially after the Trump administration slapped India with staggering 50% tariffs. After Prime Minister Narendra Modi stressed that the SCO member states must say in one voice that double standards on terrorism are unacceptable, the regional bloc mentioned the Pahalgam terror attack and echoed India's stand in the summit declaration. Diplomatically, this is a massive win for India, especially because Pakistan, which has long backed terror on Indian soil, is a member of the bloc and its Prime Minister Shehbaz Sharif is attending the summit. The member states strongly condemned the terrorist attack in Pahalgam, which left 26 innocents dead, and expressed their deepest sympathy and condolences to the families of the dead and the wounded. The members further said perpetrators, organizers, and sponsors of such attacks must be brought to justice. The member states also stressed that attempts to use terrorist, separatist, and extremist groups for mercenary purposes is not acceptable. SCO strongly condemned terrorism in all its forms, manifestations, and said double standards in the fight against terrorism are unacceptable. They called on the international community to combat terrorism, including the cross-border movement of terrorists. Earlier, Prime Minister Modi said India has been suffering due to terrorism for 4 decades now, and many mothers have lost their children to this scourge. Quote, "Recently, we saw a very ugly form of terrorism in Pahalgam. I thank the friends who stood with us during the crisis. This was not just an attack on India's soul, but an open challenge to every country believing in humanity. So a question arises, is open support by some countries to terrorism acceptable?" Unquote. Prime Minister Narendra Modi said. The Prime Minister said security, peace and stability are critical for every country's development. He added, and I quote, "And terrorism, separatism and radicalism are big challenges on this path. Terrorism is not important for any one country, but a challenge for all humanity. That's why India has stressed unity in the war against terror. We have to clearly and in one voice say that double standards won't be acceptable on terrorism. We would have to oppose terrorism in all its colors and forms. This is our responsibility towards humanity," unquote, he added. The wording the Prime Minister used found its way to the joint statement of the Tianjin Declaration. The SCO summit at Tianjin in China became a show of strength and unity for key Eurasian powers, including India, Russia, and China. Prime Minister Modi, Russian President Vladimir Putin, and Chinese Premier Xi Jinping were seen exchanging smiles, hugs, and handshakes. The optics sent a clear message amid US President Donald Trump's tariff offensive. Prime Minister Modi and Russian President Putin were seen walking hand in hand, indicating that US threats won't make India capitulate and ruin its long-term ties with Moscow. The two leaders then approached Chinese President Xi. The trio is seen sharing a laugh. The animated chat triggered speculation about the subject they discussed, but their body language showed an ease that will keep the US guessing. About 622 people were killed and more than 1,500 were injured in an earthquake that struck eastern Afghanistan, authorities said on Monday, as helicopters ferried the wounded to safety from rubble being combed in the hunt for survivors. The disaster will further stretch the resources of the South Asian nation already grappling with humanitarian crises, from a sharp drop in aid to a huge pushback of its citizens from neighboring countries. The 6.3 magnitude earthquake injured more than 1,500 people, the Taliban-run Afghan Interior Ministry said in a statement that put the death toll at 622. Earlier, state-run broadcaster Radio Television Afghanistan put the toll at about 500. In Kabul, the capital, health authorities said rescuers were racing to reach remote hamlets dotting an area with a long history of earthquakes and floods. Quote, figures from just a few clinics show over 400 injured and dozens of fatalities. Unquote. Ministry spokesperson Sharafat Zaman said in a statement that warned of higher casualties. Images from Reuters television showed helicopters ferrying out the affected, while residents helped soldiers and medics carry the wounded to ambulances. Three villages were razed in the province of Kunar, with substantial damages in many others, the health ministry said. Reports showed 250 dead and 500 injured, said Najibullah Hanif, the provincial information head of Kunar, adding that the tally could change. Early reports show 30 dead in a single village, with hundreds of injured taken to the hospital, authorities said. Rescuers were scrambling to find survivors in the area bordering Pakistan's Khyber Pakhtunkhwa region, where homes of mud and stone were leveled by the midnight quake hit at depth of 10 kilometers. Quote, so far, no foreign government have reached out to provide support for rescue or relief work, unquote, a foreign office spokesperson said. Afghanistan is prone to deadly earthquakes, particularly in the Hindu Kush mountain range where the Indian and Eurasian tectonic plates meet. A series of earthquakes in its west killed more than 1,000 people last year, underscoring the vulnerability of one of the world's poorest countries to natural disasters. That's all for today. You were listening to the news with NDTV, your daily newspaper and bulletin wrapped in a compact podcast. If you want to catch up with the day's events in a hurry, do subscribe to the news with NDTV on Spotify, Apple, and the NDTV News app. This is your host, Bani, signing off.